Hey, Brian, good to have you. First of all, tell everybody about, and we've had you on since, but your new affiliation with Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, I'm an Irish Maven now, which is the Notre Dame channel at Sports Illustrated. So very excited to be a part of that. And, of course, you guys can find me at irishbreakdown.com.
All right. What happened? What went down with Chip Long?
I just think it was really both sides were ready for to go in a different direction. I think there was some frustration on Chip Long's end about being stuck with Jeff Quinn as the offensive line coach, and just sort of a different vision for where they want to go. And I think on Brian Kelly's part, Chip Long was a very, very hard coach, very demanding coach. And I just think that, the direction he wanted to take his offense was a different direction as far as how he related to the players and how he engaged with the players. And I just think that's as simple as that.
So you think it was a mutual parting?
I do. I think that if one wanted to come back, the other was not going to want them back, that kind of thing. And I think at this point in time, both were ready, felt that, Chip Long has felt he had taken this offense as far as he could as currently constructed. And I think Brian Kelly felt the same thing.
What do you think is next for them in search for a coordinator?
Well, what I think is going to happen is, and this is basically, for about a month I've had sources tell me that it's looking like what Brian Kelly's going to do is going to promote Tommy Rees to the offensive coordinator spot. That's not what I think he should do. That's not what I think is a smart move. I think that is more similar to a Jeff Quinn hire, a Brian Van Gorder hire, than it is a Chip Long or a Mike Elko or a Clark Lee hire. But, this is the direction that Brian Kelly's gone in the past. What he should do is open it up, because there is a lot of talent on the Notre Dame offense currently, and there's a lot of talent coming in for the Notre Dame offense, and I'm sure there's a lot of very talented offensive coordinators that would be very that would like to coach this group and get this group ready to go.
Is this going to hurt recruiting in any way as we're approaching this early signing period?
I don't think so. I think that Chip Long is like the rest of the Notre Dame coaches. And one thing that Brian Kelly has always, his staff has always done a good job of, is they sell Notre Dame. They sell what makes Notre Dame unique, not, hey, come play for me because I'm this or I'm that. And that's why, really, with the exception of the 2016 season when they went 4-8, Notre Dame doesn't have a lot of decommitments. And if you go back and look, it's really not something that has plagued Notre Dame, especially the last 5 or 6 years, because they do such a good job of what makes Notre Dame different. So, when Chip Long leaves, Brian Kelly's still the head coach. The vision's still the same. Notre Dame's still the same. So while kids may be disappointed that Chip Long is leaving, because he is a very good recruiter and had a big hand in putting this excellent offensive class together, it wasn't, hey, come play for me, Chip Long. It was, come to Notre Dame. Here's what makes Notre Dame different, and here's what Notre Dame is trying to accomplish. And that hasn't changed.
Is Jeff Quinn a big reason why the offensive line, other than injuries now, which are pretty significant down the stretch here, but is he the reason why the offensive line was so inconsistent?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Jeff Quinn's a good guy. I actually like Jeff Quinn as a person, but the reality is the last 2 years, the story's the same. And you can watch an offensive line, though, you know this, and you can say, hey, look, they're struggling because of this guy's injured or that guy's injured. But the reality is, Tommy Kramer and Robert Hainsey got hurt. Tommy Kramer was replaced by Trevor Ruland, who has 5 career starts. Robert Hainsey was replaced by Josh Lugg, who was a big-time recruit coming in out of high school and is a junior as well. And a lot of teams have those injuries. But they played the same after the injuries as they did before, which is a unit that doesn't come off the line real well, that doesn't really play with a lot of power from a technique standpoint, that struggles with the most simple line games. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard Brian Kelly say in the last 2 years, well, they did things that we hadn't seen on film. That's always going to be the case. I mean, what defensive coordinator is going to say, hey, guys, give me the scouting report because I want to make sure we do exactly what we've been doing when we go play Notre Dame? They always do that. But Notre Dame's players just haven't been prepared. And, you talk to different sources, there's a lot of frustration with that. And there's a lot of frustration with players going into games and just feeling like they're not being prepared to play at a high level. And, you know, that wasn't a concern that we had in the years before when Harry Hiestand was running the show.
Jeff Driscoll with us. He is now with Sports Illustrated talking Notre Dame. Talk about this freshman group, this class of 20 offensive group that's coming to Notre Dame.
I think you could make a strong case that if everybody that's committed now signs on December 18th, this is Brian Kelly's best class from a skill player standpoint. It's truly elite. You've got Chris Tyree, a running back from Chester, Virginia, who for the last 2 years has won the fastest man competition at the opening finals in Texas. Blazing speed, 24/7 Sports has him as a five-star composite recruit, number 25 player in the country. You got Jordan Johnson, a receiver from St. Louis. They have him as a five-star, the number 28 player in the country. Michael Mayer is a top 50 player, tight end from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky. Those are three truly difference-making players. And then there's a kid from Omaha, Nebraska named Xavier Watts that's very underrated right now that I think has got a chance to be a very special, special football player. And he's a difference maker. And look, in most years, they would love to have Kevin Bauman, the tight end from New Jersey, be the number one tight end. But he often gets overlooked because of Michael Mayer. But it's a dynamic 1-2 punch. You've got a left tackle in Tosh Baker from Phoenix, Arizona. 6'8", 275, starting center on the basketball team that won a state championship last year. Reminds me a lot of Ronnie Stanley coming out of high school. Bill, you'll remember Ronnie was also a starting center for the Bishop Gorman basketball team coming out of high school. Really a talented player, and they've got a guard tackle prospect from Western Pennsylvania named Michael Carmody, who's the younger brother of Bobby Carmody, who plays on the basketball team. And then the trigger man is Drew Pine from Connecticut. Now, everybody kind of is already looking, you know, overlooking him because they have an incredibly talented 2021 quarterback committed in Tyler Buchner. You know, but Drew Pine's just he's just a talented distributor. He's similar to Ian Book, but has more talent than Ian Book had at the same level. And he's kind of that trigger man that can get the ball where it needs to go. So it's an offensive group that is really, really dynamic. And it brings the kind of home run hitters to the offense that they don't have a lot of. You know, you've got Braden Lindsey, but outside of him, there's not a lot of really big-time elite athletes. And what the 2020 class is going to bring is that kind of difference-maker elite athlete that Notre Dame hasn't really had since, you know, Will Fuller and then, you know, Michael Floyd, guys like that.
Couple things I'll let you out the door. Is Ian Book coming or going?
Last I heard is he's coming back, and I think that when Chip Long left, that helped solidify that Ian Book is coming back. I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing for Notre Dame, but that's where I think he's leaning right now.
Is Phil Jurkovec ready if need be?
If he's not, then you need to make a change at the quarterback coach position. I mean, every time that kid's got on the field, he's made plays. And, you know, I think there's been a hesitance from Brian Kelly to give him an opportunity to play. I don't understand it. I don't agree with it because, you know, look, Ian Book is what he is. He's a good kid. He can shred inferior opponents. But if you look at the numbers, and I did a story on this recently at Irish Maven, his numbers against Power 5 teams and top 50 defenses would not even rank him in the top 80 among top quarterbacks. And that's just who he is. Phil Jurkovec has the tools to be that kind of difference maker. And if he's not ready yet, then Brian Kelly should sit down Tommy Reese and whoever is his offense coordinator and say, your number one project is making sure that kid is ready to play because that kid is the guy that can get us over the hump. We saw Dabo Swinney do it with Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence. We saw Nick Saban do it with, you know, going from Jalen Hurts to Tua Tagovailoa. Brian Kelly needs to kind of get his head out of his sand a little bit with Ian Book and realize he's got a kid at quarterback that can get his team to the next level. He just has to make sure that they develop him properly and really push him to get him ready to play.
A guy I like from the 18 class who didn't play a lick, he sat out this whole last year, Kevin Austin. What is his status?
Well, I think this is a good year for Kevin. I think Kevin was having some issues with good decision-making, let's just put it that way. And I think a year away from football was kind of say, hey, you know, son, this can be taken away from you. And you've got to make better decisions and live your life a certain way because it's not just all about football. And I think Kevin learned that lesson. I think the fact that he didn't transfer says a lot about him growing from a maturity level. And from everything I've heard for the last month, has been, he's just been absolutely dominant in practice. And so when you look at losing Chase Claypool next year, there's a guy coming in and Kevin Austin, you've got Jordan Johnson that you say, hey, feel good about having replacements there. Then you see the emergence of Braden Lindsey. Lawrence Keith has some development, Tommy Tremble at tight end. You start feeling good, like, hey, you know, Chase Claypool's a beast, but we're going to have a lot of talent next year, and Kevin Austin is expected to be a part of that. He just has to keep going in the right direction, which he has been for the last couple months.
Brian, tell everybody one more time how they can get your information.
Real simple, irishbreakdown.com. I have an analysis up this morning of how the Notre Dame defense stacks up against the Iowa State offense, a breakdown of the 2020 class that we had coming up, and later today I'm going to have a feature on what Notre Dame should do at offensive coordinator now that Chip Long is leaving.
Good stuff, Brian. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Bill.